Hello, everyone. I'm Amanda Balbi, Assistant Editor at Consultant and Consultant360.com. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Herrera, who is a professor of medicine and director of the section of hepatology at the University of South Alabama. Today, he'll be answering questions about identifying and treating patients with hepatitis C virus, or HCV. Welcome, Dr. Herrera. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Amanda. It's my pleasure to be here this morning.
So to start the discussion, who is at risk for HCV infection?
That's a very important question. Traditionally, we had been focusing our efforts at diagnosing hepatitis C in patients who we felt were at risk based on their lifestyle choices. For example, we do know that one of the most common ways that patients get infected with hepatitis C is the use of intravenous needles, such as illicit drug use, or some other kind of percutaneous exposure, such as tattoos done in unregulated settings or homemade tattoos. And in the past, those were the people that we were focusing on. And then we realized that by doing that, the majority of patients that were infected with hepatitis C remain undiagnosed. So recently, there have been some very important epidemiologic studies that have clearly shown that in the U.S., 75% of the patients who are currently infected with hepatitis C were born between the years of 1945 and 1965, the so-called baby boomer generation. So as a result of that data, which has been confirmed several times, it is now clinical practice and recommended practice guideline to offer screening for hepatitis C to anyone who has been born between 1945 and 1965, regardless of their exposure risk, regardless of whether or not they have symptoms, regardless of whether or not their liver enzymes are normal or abnormal. They should all be tested at least once in their life. And I think that's going to make a difference in being able to identify the largest number of patients with hepatitis C infection. Obviously, if the patient is not in that birth cohort, we continue to offer testing to those that have known risk factors. Other risk factors that I didn't mention include children that were or adults that were born to mothers that had hepatitis C, or any patient that received blood transfusions before 1992 or organ donations before 1992, any patient who's been or in prison, any person who's been in a hemodialysis setting. Those are all groups that we know have a higher prevalence of hepatitis C.
So how do you screen those patients?
So once you identify someone that you think is at risk, either due to their birth year or either due to their exposure history, the first test that you want to do is the hepatitis C antibody test. It is a simple test. It's widely available. It's inexpensive. However, you need to realize that what this test is telling you is whether or not the patient has been exposed to hepatitis C. It doesn't really tell you they have the infection. So when you order the hepatitis C antibody test and it comes back negative, if the patient is otherwise in good health and not immunosuppressed, you can then tell the patient that they are okay, they don't have hepatitis C, they've never been exposed to it. But if the test comes back positive, you need to realize that in about 20 to 25% of those patients, either they were exposed to hepatitis C and cleared it spontaneously, or in a very small group of patients, it could be a false positive. So once you get a positive antibody test result, the next step is to check the hepatitis C RNA test, which is the actual measure of the virus in the blood. And it's not until you see that the virus is present that you will tell your patient that you have hepatitis C infection. In fact, many of the reference labs here in the U.S. have an option where you can order the antibody test with reflex to RNA. What that means is that you draw the blood only once, and if the hepatitis C antibody test is positive, the lab will automatically check for the virus. And that may be the best way to go, because that way you get the final answer with one test, and you can tell your patient whether or not they are infected or not. If the virus is present, then obviously they do have hepatitis C.
Once you receive the results, how do you interpret them?
So, again, the most important message here is not to tell the patient that they have hepatitis C just because the antibody test is positive. You have to wait for that RNA test to come back positive, and then if it is positive, you tell the patient you have hepatitis C. The second important fact is to realize that having hepatitis C is a problem, even if the patient has no symptoms, even if the patient has normal liver tests. That doesn't mean that the disease is not active. That doesn't mean that the disease is not progressive. There is not such a thing as a dormant or inactive or a carrier of hepatitis C. You either have the disease or you don't. And if you have it, you will progress. Now, the difference is that some patients progress faster than others, but regardless, if the virus is present, that person should be considered for treatment, even in the absence of symptoms, even in the absence of any liver test abnormalities.
So when should primary care providers refer these patients to a specialist?
So once a patient has been diagnosed with hepatitis C, that is, they have documented that they have virus in the blood, that patient automatically becomes a potential candidate for treatment and should be offered treatment. The good news about treatment is that it is much easier now. It can actually be done by anyone because it's so simple. However, the difficulty lies in selecting the correct drugs and obtaining the necessary approvals from insurance. So because of that, I think at this point, in most cases, it is best to refer those patients to someone else's treatment, either a gastroenterologist, an infectious disease specialist, or a hepatologist. And again, any patient who's positive for the virus should be considered for treatment. It's important to know your referring community so that realize the fact that not every gastroenterologist is treating hepatitis C and not every infectious disease person likes to treat hepatitis C. So it's important for primary carers to become familiar with the referral group or the referral area and identify those practitioners that are active in treating hepatitis C patients. And again, there's nothing wrong with a primary care treating hepatitis C as long as they have received proper training and they understand how to select the drugs and how to navigate the insurance atmosphere that we have these days in getting approval for these drugs.
So what other role do primary care practitioners play in treating HCV?
So, again, the most important role is identifying the patient and making sure they get somewhere where they can be treated. But the other role is for primary care physicians to realize that with the drugs that we use nowadays to treat hepatitis C, there's a number of drug-drug interactions, and they differ depending on what kind of drug the patient is taking. So one of the most important things is that if a patient is on treatment for hepatitis C and a primary care physician finds a need to either change their medications or add medications because they have some new problem or new symptoms, is that they consult with the hepatitis C treater to be sure that there's not an interaction between the new drugs that they're going to be using and the drugs that the patient is taking. I think that's very important. And we're talking about even common medications such as proton pump inhibitors. There are some of the treatments for hepatitis C, for example, that should not be used together with proton pump inhibitors. There can also be significant interactions with statins, and there are some that cannot be used in combination with certain hepatitis C treatments. So I think it's very important to realize that any changes in medications need to be discussed with the person who is with the practitioner or the provider who is treating hepatitis C. In addition, the other role for the primary care physicians during treatment is to make sure that their patients become remain adherent to the treatment. These treatments now, fortunately, are very short, sometimes as short as 8 weeks. Most of them are 12 weeks in duration, and it only consists of one pill once a day. But even then, it's important for the primary care physicians to emphasize the need to be sure to take all the medicine all the time, because it is clear that if the patient doesn't take all the medicine, the efficacy of the treatment is not as good as when they're compliant. So I think those are ways in which the primary care physician can assist in the treatment of hepatitis C.
So HCV can be cured. So what are the benefits of cure?
So I think that's a very important message because, believe it or not, many patients and even some practitioners don't realize that we can cure hepatitis C. This is, in fact, the first and so far the only chronic viral illness in humans that we can treat for a finite period of time and cure it. And the cure rates are amazing. I mean, if everything is done correctly and the patient takes the medicines and the medicines that are chosen are the correct medicines, 95 to 98% of patients will be cured if they are diagnosed before the onset of cirrhosis. A little bit lower, but still about 90% can be cured once cirrhosis has developed. So it is a highly effective therapy that will cure the disease. Now, it's important to realize what that means. The definition of a cure is a patient in whom the virus is not detectable 12 weeks or longer after completion of therapy. And we used to call that SVR, or sustained viral response. Now we call it a cure because we know that if the patient tests negative for the virus 12 weeks or more after they completed the treatment, the chances of a relapse is going to be less than a fraction of a percent. And we have shown that even in patients that have to be immunosuppressed for other reasons, even in patients that have to get a liver transplant, a bone marrow transplant, even in those patients, there is not a relapse of the infection. So this is a true cure. However, it's important to let the patient know that this doesn't mean that the patient is immune. Humans do not develop immunity to hepatitis C. So if the patient gets re-exposed to hepatitis C, they go back to their old habits and start sharing needles or doing tattoos or what have you, they are at risk of becoming reinfected. So if there's a history of re-exposure, or if there's an increase in liver enzymes after a cure has been established, that may be indications to repeat the testing to be sure there hasn't been a reinfection rather than a relapse. Now, curing hepatitis C is not only important because you can definitely prevent progression of liver disease, and in fact, if you treat hepatitis C before the patient develops cirrhosis, you can prevent the development of cirrhosis and the liver will go back to normal. But now we're also realizing that hepatitis C is a systemic illness. There are many studies that have shown conclusively that patients with hepatitis C, even those that have minimal or mild liver disease, their quality of life improves dramatically after the viremia is eliminated. The fatigue goes away. They can sleep better. The productivity improves. So patients in general do much better, even if they don't have significant liver disease, once the virus is removed. In addition, we know that chronic hepatitis C is a cause of chronic kidney disease. And if you eliminate the virus, you can reduce the risk of progression to chronic kidney disease and even hemodialysis. And now there's even evidence that chronic hepatitis C infection increases the risk of myocardial infarction as well as strokes. So it is clearly a systemic illness, and we should, and that is the reason why we should treat all patients with hepatitis C viremia, not only those that have significant liver damage, because this is actually a systemic disease and not only a liver disease.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Dr. Herrera. We look forward to your future work with consultants also.
Thank you. My pleasure.